Mark chapter 11. We've been looking at faith. We're looking at faith, and we established some principles exploring faith. Okay, that is taking another look at faith. We established some principles, and one of the things we said to start with is you will always need faith. You will always need faith not to make God do anything, but to receive what God has done. Hallelujah. You know, when I was much younger in the faith, one of the most popular statements I had was faith moves God. Okay? And that was the level of light we had at that time. And it was okay, because God will bless you at the level of light and understanding you have. So, faith moves God was a popular saying in my circle. Okay, but later we discovered that faith doesn't move God. Okay, faith receives what God has done. Okay, now we can't give that definition of faith for Moses or Elijah or David, because that definition of faith is a bit different. And that's one of the things I tried to explain to us last week, that the definition of faith in the Old Testament changed slightly after the cross of Jesus. That cross changed everything. Hallelujah. And that's so important for you to understand, because if you don't understand it, the way your faith will operate is different from the way the faith of David operated. Last week we saw Abraham, we saw Sarah. What was the basis of Abraham's faith? Before we go into that, let's read our text, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. From verse 22, Jesus answering said unto them, the disciples were asking him question after they saw that the fig tree had dried up. So Jesus is explaining the principle behind the fig tree drying up. He said, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. How does that faith operate? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then verse 23, the Bible says, therefore, I say unto you. And we establish the fact that when the Bible says therefore, it's telling you the reason why this is because of what I said previously. Why does the prayer of faith work? Because faith is a principle that works through saying. Why do you get results when you pray in faith? It's because of the things you say in the place of prayer. Because faith works by saying. Faith works by saying. He says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. And then we establish the fact that how do you get to a point where you don't doubt in your heart? The principle is in that verse. You keep saying. The reason why you doubted is because it's a thought that's been planted in your mind, either through imagery or through words you heard from people. How do you uproot unbelief? You keep saying. What are you saying? You are saying what you want to believe. Hallelujah. You are saying what you want to believe. Now, your heart doesn't discriminate when it comes to seed. We've established the fact that the heart of man is the soil or the ground. Okay? It's not the direction I want to go to now, but since I've already mentioned that, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I was headed in another direction, but let's see. Let's look at that popular parable, popularly called Parable of the Sower. Amen. Seems we've been running away from it for a while, so let's go. Let's go to get into it. Okay, so get ready to read for a long portion. It says, verse 2. Mark chapter 4, verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables, and sent unto them in his doctrine, that's in his teaching. And behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had not depth of heart. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no roots, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. How many situations have we looked at? How many have we looked at? Three. Let's look at the last one. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up one and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, pay attention carefully. Let me ask you a question. The ground here, okay, before I do that, let's hear from the mouth of Jesus, and then both of us will answer the question. So pay attention to verse 8. Look at verse 8. Order fell on good ground. And that good ground did yield how many? 30 and what? 60 and what? 100-fold. Okay? So look at verse 9. And he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let me ask you a question. How many of them had physical ears? All of them. Okay, so when he says he that has ears to hear, what does that mean? He that has ears to hear, let him hear. So there's physical ear that all of you have, isn't it? So he that has ears simply means those who are willing to. Do you understand that? Those who are willing, those who are not resisting the word of God in their heart. So let's see what he's in. And when he was alone, they that were about him, the 12 asked of him the parable, and said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all the things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. I'm going to resist temptation to explain that, because if I explain that right now, we'll get into something else entirely. Okay? So, notice, the way he said it, here's what you will think. You will think God is saying, I'm going to make sure they don't understand. No. No. The harmony of the gospel simply means, if you read this parable here, you find the same parable in the book of Matthew 13. If you read Matthew 13, some things Jesus said here will become clearer to you in Matthew 13. Here, look at the way he said it. He says, those things are said to them in parables, but unto you it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom, but unto them that are without, all these are done in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. That's at any time. So here's what you would think. God did those things in parables so that they will not understand. No. That's not what he's saying. If you read Matthew 13, you will find Jesus now saying that they closed their ears. They shut their eyes so that they will not hear and they will not see. Hallelujah. Why do we have harmony of the Gospels? If there's a fact that Mark did not mention, Matthew will supply it. If there's something that Luke did not finish saying, John will supply it. Hallelujah. Do you understand? That's why we have what we call the harmony of the Gospels. You read the same story in different Gospels. If there's something else missing in this particular one that you don't understand, the other will shed more light on it. Okay? That's how to study your Bible. So, let's go on now. Verse 13, and said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. Interesting, this passage, the sower is mentioned just once. So every other thing that happened concerning not the seed, but the ground. So the most important part of this parable is, what kind of ground did the seed? The seed is same quality. Are you with me? Notice, he spoke about four different kinds of ground, same seed. All grounds produce different results. So the variable is not the seed, is not the sower, is the ground. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Okay, so see. It says, verse 15, and these are they by the wayside, when the word of God is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comment when? Do you know when you hear the word of God, it is wisdom many times when you are listening to teaching of God's word to pray quietly in tongues. If you're not praying quietly when you're listening, you should pray immediately you finish listening to it. Because here's the challenge. Satan doesn't give room. He comes immediately. Why does he come? When there is no understanding of the word. So when you're being taught, you don't understand, you are going to give Satan the ability to steal it. When you understand, it has entered your heart already. When you don't understand, Satan has room to take because you don't understand. Do you understand what he's saying? So when he says the fowls of the air, notice you cannot take a parable literally. Because the fowls of the air, they refers to who? He didn't say Satan's scheme. They're not multiple. So when he said the fowls of the air, he used fowls is a plural. But when Jesus is decoding the parable, when he says the fowl of the air represents who? Satan. So you're not witches from the village. That's why you cannot interpret a parable literally. You have to understand what is this saying. this same principle, I used it to explain some things to us about how dreams operate, because if you take some dreams literally, you will not speak to anybody in your family again. You will not. You and I had a fight, and I saw you in the night squeezing my neck. Of course I will see you. We are fighting. That doesn't mean you are planning to kill me. No. It's because we're fighting. So there's a way I will see you, that you are angry with me. It doesn't mean that you want to kill me. It's not that you now wake up and I say that, wait, I know who's behind my affliction now. No. It's because you are not using God's wisdom, God's word to interpret. So see what it says. Satan comment out immediately. And take away the word that was sown where? In their hearts. Next one. See what it says. And these are they likewise which are sown where? Stony ground. Who when they have heard the word, immediately what? Receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. Let me ask a question. The first heart, there is no understanding. So Satan takes away immediately. The second heart, there is no root. Can somebody explain to me what root means? Can we say the word root is the same word depth? Can we say depth is practice? If you understand something, what should follow your understanding? Practice. If you don't practice, what will happen? Notice what happened to the person, to that ground. You see what happened. See what happened. It says, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive with gladness and have no root. So they endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are what? Offended. Now, what kind of scenario is that? They've heard the word, they understood the word, they were meant to practice the word. Root in themselves means depth. Depth comes from practice. Practice means you are sure of what you have believed. Now, it says when they don't have depth, they don't have root. If they don't have root, what happens is when challenges come that contradict what they have believed, they throw in the towel. They get offended. I don't know why God wants to punish me. I don't know why God is not answering my prayer. Yes, I've been praying since and God has refused to answer. And as a pastor, I've tried to tell people many times, you don't know the enormity of that statement. It is more serious than you think. When you say that you don't know why God has refused to answer you, is it not better for you to say, I don't know why I'm not receiving answers? But when you say you don't know why God, you know what you are saying? You are saying that as strong as a covenant that God made with Jesus is, that ensure that Jesus died to ensure that covenant is alive, you are saying God singled you out and refuse to answer your prayer. That's what you are saying. It sounds stupid. If you look at it, is it possible that you're not receiving answers? Yes. What should be your focus? Why am I not seeing answers? What are you now saying? What you are saying will confuse you further. You are saying that God is not faithful. I'm not saying he's faithful. He cannot deny. If we deny him, he's faithful. He can't deny himself. That's what it means. So, one of the strongest anchors of a believer's faith is that a believer must know if there's any issue in my receiving, it can never come from God's side. Your mind has to be made up. You have to have that conviction on the inside. If you don't have it, it's easy for Satan to make you a prey with deception. Let me say this. Why do you think it was easy for Eve to fall into Satan's trap? When Satan said that, as God said, you shall not surely. I said, no. He said, we must not even touch it. Then Satan said that, you will not surely die. You know what he's just saying? God wasn't telling you the truth, whole truth. So what's the problem? Integrity. Integrity of God was called to question. So if you as a believer, you have issues with integrity of God's word, you are going to have issues with your faith. God cannot afford to lie. If God lies today, listen, everything you know as earth and life will crumble. Because what is sustaining everything you can see is the integrity of God's word. I told you last Sunday, when God swore to Noah, he descended to man's level, so that man will know he's serious. Not because he needed to be us to assure man, because it is man in his fallen state who believes in swearing to ratify a promise. So you see Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. In that is it the Son of Man that will change his mind. As he spoke, shall he not do it? As he said, shall he not make it good? You understand that? So the minute you think that you are singled out, Paul said 1 Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. So whatever you're going through is not unique. It's not that mine is special. It was specially brewed. It was designed specifically. He said it's common. If you don't believe that statement, you're already in trouble. Because what you are saying is this: the word of God is not true. This one, when Paul was writing, he didn't know I'm in Nigeria, where fishes fly during the day. He didn't know. He said there's no temptation as facing you but such as is common. Common means there's no such thing as we have not seen this kind before. No, it's common. Are you a man? It's common. It's common means that it's been experienced all over. It's not special. But what's thing I want you to believe that is special? He just wants to believe it's special. Ah, this one you're facing. Ah, no. Ah, this type is. In fact, Gabriel has called Michael. Michael will look for Uriel. Uriel will look for Raphael to sort your case. And that's it. Why? He wants to deceive you to make you think it's special. And it's not special. It's common. It's a normal thing that every man faces. And God said, even before it was done, there's already a way of escape. And God's word is a way of escape. Hallelujah. Listen. So, see again what it says. We're opening the parable of the sower. See what it says. Where are we now? Where are we? So I can know you're following. Where are we? Verse what? 17. Okay. You know, there's no scripture. There's no screen. So that is how you know whether you're reading your Bible or not. There's nothing on the screen. It's good. It's good like that. So, okay. So they have no root in themselves, and so they endure for what? A time. So they hula, whoo, glory to God. And then when they step out, prosperity was declared over your life. We will succeed this week. He didn't wait for the week to end. The week has not even begun. It was that evening that they brought another bill. How many of you have experienced that before? Somebody, Monday morning, you have had a whooping time or something. Why we rejoiced? Prophecy and everything. The Monday, why did they give up? They have no roots. What does it mean they have no root? They didn't continue practicing the word because it was at surface value. The minute challenge came, they let go of the word, they embraced the challenge. They elevated the challenge above the word they have received. The word that they received or the challenge that they faced was more real to them than the word that they had received. That's what they're saying. Say they have no roots, no depth. They have never learned how to practice God's word. That's the problem. So when Pastor Kron slaps them in the face, they just quickly put white flag. I give up. That's what he's saying. Jesus is teaching that the word is not the problem, the sower is not the problem, the heart is the problem. That's where the variable is. So the first heart, what does it say? They didn't understand. What does that? It gives Satan ability to steal. He snatches away the word before it could be understood. The next one, what happens? No depth. Okay? So let's look at the third one. So, verse 18. And these are they which are sown among what? Thorns. Such as hear the word. Notice now. And the what? Cares of this world. And the deceitfulness of what? So there are desires and there are things that are pursuing that is over and above the integrity of God's word. Notice that. There are desires that they have. There are things that, you know, when the Bible uses the word discipline, how many of you know riches are not evil? How many of you know riches are not evil? You better believe it's not evil. Say money is good. Love of money is a different matter. But money is good. Another word for love of money is mammon. I hope you understand that. When Mammon says you can't serve God and mammon, he's not saying you can't serve God and money. He's saying you can't serve God and love of money. Because it's the strongest competitor for God in a man's heart. The love of money. Not money, the love of money. That people who have money don't love it. That people who don't have money and they love it. I mean, the philosophy of money is serious. You don't have to have money to love it. And you can have money and you don't love it. So loving money is not a function of having it. There are people who love money and they don't have any. You can tell. You can tell. And that's one of the reasons why your posture in your heart when it comes to money always shows in your giving. You just can't escape it, no matter what you try. You were earning 2,000 naira. You said it's not enough to give God 200 naira out of it. That's too much. Why? You started earning 10,000 naira. Of course, you are still thinking, if I give God 200 naira now, you will understand. Then you now start earning 20,000 naira. You know what usually happens? They will not change that 200 as it was, so shall it be forevermore. They start earning 50,000 naira. You know what will happen? It will increase liabilities and it will never think about giving. Here's the bad part, that you know that it is not in the amount, it's in the heart. When it starts earning 1 million, when is giving God 10,000? If he's to celebrate him, can you imagine? I gave God 10,000. Even God should roll out red carpet for me. I tried. You understand? Why? It's the heart. It is never enough. He will always have something else to do. That same. So you will know that he's worshiping the money. He's the one serving money. The money is not serving him. So the heart is pushing. When it's the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, cares of this world has to do with the affairs of this life. They are so strong in your heart that it's choking the efficacy of God's word. And you know the word of God is not of this world. The word of God, the principle behind it, the nature of that word is at complete variance with the things of this world. If it's not at complete variance, when you hear, pray for those who despitefully use it, it's not at variance. Bless those who curse you. Imagine you're in a bus. You wonder, curses you, say, bless you. And people look at you like this. All those swear, but people have come. Why? Because the word of God is at variance with the curse of this world. So he says, the torn kind of heart, what happens? The cares of this world. Deceitfulness of riches. See what happens. And the lusts of other things entering in. They do what? They choke the word and it becometh what? Unfruitful. Let me rephrase that for you. Before the word can produce fruit, those desires have choked it, such that it's not able to produce. So this particular person understands the word. Satan didn't come and steal. This kind of person actually starts to try to practice. This kind of person has only one problem. Before the word ever came, when the word was coming in, he met other things already inside the heart. What are those other things? Cares of this world. Lots of other things. Then deceitfulness of riches. What happens? It chokes the word. Before it can choke the word is already there. It chokes the word so that the word cannot produce fruit. Let's look at the last one. And these are they which are sown on what? Good ground. Such as hear the word, receive it, and one, bring forth fruit. Some. So he's telling you there's a variation in the fruit that they bring forth. Generally, this kind of heart is good, or it doesn't have the challenges the other hearts have. But notice that even though it doesn't have challenges, the yield or the harvest is not the same. So let me ask you a question now. The heart here, is it the spirit of man or the soul of man? Sorry? Why is it the soul of man? Why is it the soul of man? How many agree on the spirit of man? How many know there can be inequality in yield when it comes to spirit of man? How many know that your spirit is perfect in Christ and you are complete in him? So the soul of man is what he's trying to hear. That's where there's inequality when it comes to yield. So if there's any form of imperfection, where's the imperfection? In the soul of man. So he's telling you that the degree to which each mind is renewed varies from one to the other. When he says some yield 30, 60, 100, the seed is not the problem, the heart is the variation. So how renewed the heart is what is producing the kind of harvest it's producing. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about the spirit of man. Let me say it again. Your spirit man doesn't need the word of God. Your spirit man is made of the word of God. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and what? Abided forever. Say, my spirit man is born of the word of God. That's important. So your spirit man, the constitution of your spirit is of the word of God and the spirit of God. The part of you that needs light and understanding and clarity is your heart or your soul. Glory to God. So the variation in the heart is in how did they bring forth fruit based on how renewed your mind is. Okay? So now back to the thoughts we left before. Notice in Romans chapter 4. Look at Abraham's faith again. Because what did Jesus tell us about faith? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou what? Removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he shall come to pass, he shall whatsoever he said. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, by now you should know the answer. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever you, when you believe that you, and you shall. So, notice the tenses. You believe that you receive them. You shall what? Have them. When Jesus took his principle, before the cross or after the cross? Before the cross. So if you're going to apply the principle, now that you are a New Testament Christian, what is the first thing you're going to pay attention to? 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. We'll go back to Romans now. 2 Corinthians 1:19. 2 Corinthians 1:19. See what it says. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not what? Ye and nay. There was no certainty. But in him was ye. Next verse. For all, hallelujah, the promises of God are what? In him, they are what? Yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So Romans now, Romans chapter 4. Let's look at Father Abraham. Father Abraham has many sons as Father Abraham. I'm not one of them. Okay, are you there? Romans 4. Let's read from verse 18. Okay, so it says, who against who believed in hope that he might become the father of what? Many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now notice it. Notice the phrasing. According to what was spoken, so shall thy seed be. What did Abraham hear? So shall your seed be. When did Abraham hear this? We saw Genesis 15, isn't it? When God told him, come out and look to the sky and count the stars if you can number them, so shall your seed be. He said, so the word was the word of promise. Abraham, this is how your descendants will be in number. Did you see that? So what did Abraham believe? That this is what will happen. Pay attention. He says, who against who believed in hope, or when there was no natural hope, no sign in the natural that what God said was going to come to pass, Abraham received supernatural hope. How was he given supernatural hope? The image in his heart was changed. How was he changed? God told him, come out. Maybe we stop quoting. Look at Genesis 15. Let me cover the ground tonight. Genesis 15 from verse 1. Thank you. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield, and I want exceeding great reward. This is serious. When I checked the interpretation of what God said here, I danced a little bit in the spirit. Because when God was saying this to Abraham, he was saying this to the believer in Christ. Abraham foreshadowed the believer in Christ. The fullness of what God said here did not even come to pass until Christ rose from the dead. And we just saw now that all the promises of God, they're what? They're yes. Notice the language of God. Abraham, I will be, fear not, I will be your shield, I will be your, is that what? Did you see the word will there? Do you see the word will there? What did you see there? Is God going to be, or he already is? When he was telling Abraham, is that when God became that way, or he already was? Why was God saying to Abraham? So that Abraham can know who God was to him. Yes or no? Okay, so see now, I am thy shield. He's talking about the advocacy of Christ. If you stand in any court of law and your sins are brought up, I will be there to answer the case. Hallelujah. That is what God was telling Abraham. When I say I am with you, if you stand in any court of law and anything you have ever done in the past, and Abraham was an idol worshiper, anything you have ever done wrong, if it's brought up, I personally will stand in. You don't need to speak. I will take care of it. I'm your defense. I'm your advocate. That's my word from now on. That's what God was telling Abraham. No wonder in chapter 20 when Abimelech took his wife, God did not discuss what Abraham did wrong with Abimelech, because he is Abraham's lawyer. What he was after was getting Abraham judgment. What did God tell Abimelech? That man is a prophet. Tell him to pray for you. Abimelech was thinking, wait. What's going on? Who is wrong here? Did he not say to me that she's my sister? God said, forget what he said. He is a prophet. Where you go, tell him to pray for you. In fact, when you are going, don't go empty handed. Carry sheep, goat, cow, plenty. Give it to him. Because God told Abimelech, see, you're already dead. Some people are dancing there. It's your rice they are eating. Abimelech said that, but it's not my fault. He told me, I know it's not your fault. That's why I didn't allow you to touch her. Abimelech was wondering, why am I there? What did I do? Sir, the woman you have taken is another man's wife. Say thee not unto me, she's my sister. I know what he said. That's not the issue now. The issue is that I said you are dead. What was God doing? He was reading scripture. I'm your shield. I'm your defense. If any accusation is brought against you, I'm personally standing that it cannot hold water. That's what God was telling Abraham. So he said, fear not. See, if God says fear not is not because of what we do. It's because of what he has done and he's doing. Listen, the reason why the case of Abraham was unique is this. What God told him at 75, that he didn't believe. Listen, no. He didn't believe the aspect of Isaac becoming, or him having Isaac. He didn't believe. I say he didn't believe. He did not process his faith. Abraham had to learn and grow spiritually just like you and I. Abraham didn't know what to do until God gave him information about what to do to manifest the promise. So for 24 years, Abraham was lagging behind. The 24 years, God didn't call it a waste. God said that even with the year passing, it doesn't change what I've said. I will still do it. I don't even get it. Can you call 24 years a time Abraham wasted time and messed up? And God said, I will still do what I said. Because my dream, what I said, was never based on your conduct. If somebody comes to you, does not ask you questions about where you are coming from, just said, Abraham, come out to a land I will show you. I'll make you great. I'll make you anywhere. I'll bless you. And Abraham believed. And God said, that's enough for me. You are righteous. No question about what he has done before. No discussion. Do you believe? You have never seen me, but you believe what I just said. Then you are righteous. Hallelujah. That's why when it comes to conduct, listen carefully. Everything that you want to know about the epistles, New Testament, you will find it foreshadowed in the life of Abraham. Do you understand? Is conduct important? Yes. But how does it come to play? Because all this time, Abraham wasn't dotting the I's and crossing the T's. After I went in on to Agar, God said, let's continue where we stopped. That will not nullify. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you still believe? You believe. Let's go. Well, let me show you something. We'll come back to it. Look at chapter 17, verse 1. Look at what God said. Chapter 17. And when Abraham was 90 years and 19, the Lord what? Appeared to Abraham and said. So, whenever God comes, what's God always doing? He's always saying. Why is he always saying? Something for Abraham to believe. When God speaks, it's so that you can hear and what? Believe. See, I'm the Almighty God. Do what? I'm a what? Was he perfect? Was he perfect? How will he be perfect? He didn't say walk so that you can be perfect. And he said, as you stand before me, that's how perfection comes. Was he perfect? No. How will you be perfect? Just stay before me. Keep listening. I will clean you up. The problem is you have been trying to clean yourself up. And that is not your job. That is his job. John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. My father is the husbandman. If you know what that thing means, you will never be afraid of failure. Who is the vine? What are you? Who is the husbandman? Who proves the vine? Who is the husbandman? The father. Who proves the vine? The father. Who supplies the life? The vine. What are you? A branch. You now want to go and be husbandman. That's problem. What does husbandman do? He takes care of the vine. King James made a major, it was a major issue with interpretation when he said that those are not bearing fruit. It does what? How many of you have heard that before? It does what? I didn't hear you. No, approved. That's not the word he used. So, it what? It prunes. No. Those who bear fruit, it prunes that it may bear more fruit. But those who don't bear fruit, what does it say about it? What does it do? Okay, well, I think we'll look at it one of these days. The word that was used in the English implies you remove it and throw it away. But what was translated as that word in the original Greek actually means that it is falling on the floor, the husbandman picks it up and supports it until it has strength again. What is it saying? If a life is attached to Christ, there's never a loss. Because the life is not coming from the branch. Branches don't have life of themselves. They get their life from where? From the vine. What is the husbandman doing? You are not connected properly. Let's reconnect you so that life can flow. Let's leave that one. So, he said, walk before me. It's as you walk before me, you will now be perfect. Perfection is required. It's not required when you are coming. It's required as you walk before me. Which is, as you fellowship, what happens? I rub up for you. And then perfection starts showing. So let's go back to chapter 15. I want you to see chapter 15. That first verse. So, okay, let's read from here. Pastor, it's okay. Let's read from here. So, and Abraham said, look at what Abraham, you know, Abraham didn't understand what God said. Fear not. I'm your shield and your what? Exceeding. How many of you know God doesn't exaggerate? Do you believe God doesn't exaggerate? So imagine God using the word exceeding. That's in God's vocabulary. He uses the word exceeding. What do you think that should tell you? That this is beyond what you can comprehend. What is the first step? I'm your shield, your personal advocate. Wherever you are, I'll stand for you. No accusation can hold water. And that says, and your exceeding great reward. If you check the word in Hebrew now, in the Old Testament, written Hebrew, I mean, Abraham, when they check your account for work done, I'm the salary that was paid. What work did Abraham do? He believed. God calls it work. When they check your account for payment for believing, I am the payment. I'm your reward. So if you check Abraham's balance, what will you find there? G-O-D, God. Can you finish spending God? That's the question. That's what you want. That was why. In fact, look at what Abraham said. You know that Abraham did not understand. Look at what he said. God tells you that. Look at what Abraham said. What will you give me seeing I go childless? Do you think he understands? No. What's Abraham saying? Abraham, I'm giving you something to see. What's Abraham seeing? Childlessness. What's God saying? Ah, Abraham, we have moved beyond this. Your descendants, those who believe in Christ by faith, the same way I'll be an advocate to you, I'll be an advocate to them. I will be the payment in their accounts too. Abraham couldn't see. What is Abraham seeing? The present situation. What will you give me seeing I go childless? It was a present continuous sin. So God knew that, listen, everything we told Abraham about having Isaac will not work until we change what Abraham is seeing. What was the problem? The imagery was limiting the manifestation. There's nothing God can, the faith of God will not work if the image doesn't align. Because the heart produces after the image that's on the inside. They wanted to take, they were doing some scientific experiments about space. You know, when you leave the earth, gravitational pull stops on the earth. I hope you know that. So when you get to the moon, they wear special equipment and apparatus to be able to move around because there's no gravitational pull. Okay, so now when they get over there, so that the effect of leaving the earth will not be too much on the astronauts that were going, they spend a 28-day period training them. Now, they put them in specially prepared tubes where they turned them upside down. They slept upside down. They had to eat upside down. After 20 days, they discovered something. When they stood them right side up, they saw everything upside down. That's how strong the mind of man is. After, when they now stood them right side up, they still saw everything how? Upside down. Because their mind had adjusted. That is the principle behind propaganda. The word propaganda was coined from what happened in World War II when Hitler's Nazi Germany, you know Nazi Germany? I hope you know some things about history. Nazi Germany, when they had what you call fanatics who believed in the Third Reich, that means they believed in the superiority of a particular race above another. And he indoctrinated many people until people that were average actually believed that they were superior to every other race and that the Jews were their enemies. So an ordinary man would go out and kill another thinking that he was doing. I hope you understand what I'm saying. They were indoctrinated and it took time. Now, terrorists in the world are using that same principle. They keep them in a secluded place. They feed them the same information 24 hours. The Westerners are the devils. Everything is a lie. But if your mind keeps hearing that for a long time, it will accept it as truth. The modern word for it is brainwashing. So, when I discovered those principles, I told myself, I am going to personally supervise my own brainwashing. I'm not going to allow media, newspaper to brainwash me. I will brainwash myself. How will I do it? By the word of God. What will I be hearing? You are the head and not the tail. You are above only, you are never beneath. There is no weapon that is fashioned against you that will prosper. It is too late for you to fail, for you are a success in life. Victory is your middle name and your last name. I don't know if you did. I will be in charge of my personal brainwashing. Because that's how the heart produces. Why? The image has to enter for there to be full manifestation. My final year in school, they were playing games with my results. There was a carryover course that I had from training level. Not because I failed, but because they said we didn't find it. And I don't know, may God deliver Nigeria. When, I don't know, sir, a school is responsible for not finding your result and its student has to pay for it. It's so wrong. But it has been taken as normal. Now, even students don't have power against it. Now, because you didn't find it, I must go and do it again. I was supposed to do it my 400 level. When I got 400 level, I discovered that, because I didn't discover until after 300 level, that they couldn't find the results. We need to compare our results, put them together, because the 400 level year, all courses we're going to do, 14 of them were all compulsory. Faculty of Greek. If you scale to 400 level, you have scaled. University of Badon. All four, let me say, so 18 courses, sorry. 18. All compulsory. So it's not like if I pass this one small, but you fail one, it's extra year. 500 level, and I went to go and sit for it. I sat for it. And there's some demonized lecturers. So they were compiling our results. I did well, 300 level, I did well, 400 level. Final year was another 18 courses. So I had to add that one to it. I did. I can't find chemistry 257. I can't forget the name. How can you go to a lecturer to ask for your results? And the first thing he says is, he doesn't know you. He just knows that you're a final year student. He knows you need that course to complete everything. And the first thing is that, yes, 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 why are you shaking? You must have failed. I was thinking, this is demon. No? Why are you shaking? You must have failed. I know you failed. What's your number? I gave my number. Yes, you failed. I was thinking. I just waited patiently. He checked. He saw 72. So how did you do it? I'm just thinking that this is what. But here's what really happened. Let me tell you what the story behind that is. My paper, before I could get this course, it was delayed. I didn't even see it. They were just saying this lecturer wasn't around, this course was not released. How can a 200 level course hold me down when I've already scaled the mountains? So while my other colleagues were like rejoicing, we were about 14, 15 of us. The others had more major issues, but our own names were outstanding, you know. What was I confessing? I began to confess. I confessed God's word until I saw myself wearing NYC uniform, matching with them, even though I don't like matching. What was I doing? The image had to change. Because the image, what was suggested was that, Esther, you will stay here. I needed to change the image. The results that were not compiled were telling me, you are staying here one more year. What was I doing? I was trying to change the image. And I kept declaring. Until I saw myself wearing NYC uniform. It was a process. So I was not just praying that God should help me. I was declaring God's word until the image was forming. That was a challenge that Abraham was going through. How can the Almighty God just tell you something that Babylon said that, what will give me seeing I go childless? That means the image was a problem. The image stood against what God was saying. So look at what God did to Abraham. And we learn a lesson from him. So look at what Abraham is even planning. This Eliezer, the steward of my house, will not be my heir. Can you imagine? He's already thinking, this one will not inherit everything. I will have no child. So Abraham's image was wrong. Next verse. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Can you see? Can you see the confession is getting worse? So when you say Abraham is father of faith, see the process, it wasn't perfect. And one born in my house is my heir. So he was already high in Eliezer. This is how we take everything. Everything I work for. For 75 years, we just check everything. Look at the next verse. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. This is why Abraham is a prophet. When you see the phrase, the word of the Lord came, it came by revelation. That's how prophets receive. He says, saying, this shall not be in our ear, but he that shall, oh God, it's wonderful, that shall come forth of your what? Own bowels shall be in your hair. And he brought him forth and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. So you see where that scripture came from now. So what was God affecting? The image Abraham had in his heart. So shall thy seed be. Are you there? So let's read verse 18 again. Who against hope believed in what? Hope. Let me ask you a question. Do you now know what it means to believe against hope now? From what we just read in Genesis 15. Did Abraham have any natural hope? Did he have any natural hope? No. Everything called natural hope was gone. That was why he was saying he couldn't even see himself having a child. He was seeing the steward of his house as his heir. So to believe in hope against hope means that when God told him, come out and look, if you can number, God gave him what? Supernatural hope. Hallelujah. Do you understand it? God gave him supernatural hope. So, see what it says now. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith. Now, let me ask you a question now. When did Abraham stop being weak in faith? Before the image or after the image? Before the image or after the image? So, you notice in the process of faith, is imagery important? Yes. Very important in the process of faith. The image that you have has to change. It has to change. It's so important. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the one scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord. In his law does he what? Meditate when? What do you think day and night will do to your mind? It will change the image you have. Let me say this. Do you know, if you program your heart, listen carefully, whether it is the will of God or not for you, you will get it. You may not like what you get, but you will get it. If I program my heart for the next 6 months, I want to relocate out of Nigeria, I will get it. Even though it may not be the will of God. So, getting something is not proof it's God's will. It is the way the heart of man works. How does it work? It's as though a man should cast seed into the ground. Where's the ground? Your heart. The kind of seed, your heart does not discriminate seed. You don't even say, we are growing beans, we don't want cassava. Have you seen any ground like that before? You need to cast out demons on that kind of ground. When you are sowing seed into a ground, it doesn't say that I was designed to grow pawpaw. Why are you bringing mango? I don't want. No, whatever seed you plant, the ground what? Bring it forth. So if you program your heart with any desire, after a while, what will happen? It will produce, it will find a way. Let me tell you, it will even produce the finances that is necessary. It will make a way. That's how powerful. When the word of God mixes with a man's heart, it will always find a way to manifest. That's the way it works. It will find a way. So the imagery is so important. The imagery helps you to stand against any contrary thought that may want to stand against what you are believing for. What was stopping Abraham from receiving manifestation? It was what he was seeing. What he was seeing. What was he seeing? When did God come to Abraham? 75. If a man had been married since he was 40 and he's now 75, 35 years, he couldn't give birth then when he was 40. He now says 75. What do you think he would think? You have come again. Doctors told me 35 years ago. What did God give Abraham? Supernatural hope. No hope in natural. Okay. So let's read on quickly now. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. What does it mean to hope against hope? Where did natural hope end with his body? His body told him there's no way. So he considered not that hope. He considered another kind of hope. Which kind of hope? The one God gave him. What did God say to him? So shall thy seed be. So look at what Abraham had to overcome. He considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of what? Strike one, strike two. Abraham, body dead. Sarah's womb, dead. Two deaths. I'm trying to make it practical so that you see that it was not a joke. Abraham tried. God helped Abraham. Two deaths. Abraham, physically you are dead. What about Sarah? Our womb is dead. How is it going to happen? As far as God was concerned, God was excited. I have raw material for the miracle I want to produce. So, neither yet. So, Abraham considered not. He did not focus his hope on a physical body. He didn't focus his hope on Sarah's body for him. See what the Bible says about him. Verse, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving what? Glory to God. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. We're going to continue here next week. But look at it this way. Because I know you can't really hear me well, right? You can hear. Okay. So, see what it says. Being not weak in faith, he concerned not his own body, which was now dead. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. So we know that Abraham's faith became strong when he was given supernatural hope. Isn't it? Then he says, he was strong in faith. How was he strong in faith? He was giving glory, or he was praising God. He was rejoicing in God. That's what Abraham was doing. He was praising God. But where we're going since we started is this. What was the anchor of what Abraham believed? Because that's not the same thing you and I are meant to believe today. Look at what Abraham believed. That what God promised, he was able also to perform. That was Abraham's faith. Abraham believed that what God had promised, he was able also to what? Perform. What do you believe? Thank you. What God has done, what God has performed, he is able to manifest. Should I say that again? Abraham believed that what God has promised, he was able also to perform. In Christ, all the promises of God, they are already what? Yes, and what? Amen. Let me put it this way. If you have the Spirit of God, what you have is the yes and amen of God to all the promises of God. The Spirit of God is not something that just makes you speak in tongues. No. The Spirit of God is proof that, because having Jesus means having the Spirit. Jesus is not physically living inside of you. Jesus in you means the Spirit of God is where? In you. The Spirit of God is proof that everything God said he will do, he has done. Particularly for you. So the presence of the Spirit in a man's life is the presence of the fulfillment of what God's promise. So what is a man to believe that what God said he has done? So let's say that again. What you are believing is that what you desire is something God has already done. So what you are receiving is the manifestation. You are not waiting for God to perform again. Because when the Bible says that Abraham was persuaded that when what God promised was able to perform here, he wasn't just speaking about Isaac here. You need to understand. He was speaking about the advocacy of Christ. What God told him, that so shall your seed be, means that everybody who believes like you, they will experience this blessing. That was in the future. You understand that? So Abraham had the right to believe that way because it was in the future. But for you, it's in the past. It's already done. So when you hear, what is it you desire? When you pray, believe that you receive them. The receiving is not coming from, the receiving is coming from within out. Believe that you receive them, then you will have this manifestation. Hallelujah. You will have his what? Manifestation. That's so important. That's where our faith is different from Abraham's faith. So we are not waiting until the day God will do something. One of the best ways to illustrate that faith is to use the story of the woman with the issue of blood. That woman knew Jesus was the power of God on two legs. That woman knew it wasn't that on a particular day God will heal her. She knew healing was around and passing around. Healing was represented by Jesus. So the reason why she touched the hem of Jesus' garment is she knew that God had provided healing. If he had provided, he's not going to perform the healing. He has what? Performed it. What did she go and do? She went to receive it. That's all. Hence, there was no prayer in what she was saying. It was just confession. She went to receive something God had made available. Where did her faith start? She knew it was already available. So she wasn't saying, God, I pray that today, you will heal me today. You must heal me. That is, you are saying you must perform something. But the woman knew. How did she know? From what she had heard. She knew that even the cloth of Jesus stored healing power. And it was for anybody, it was for whosoever. That's so important. So her faith worked because she believed that it was already available, not going to be available. So when she touched, she received immediately because it wasn't a function of God doing, it was a function of her receiving what God has already done. That's why we have that story there, to let us know how does the power of God work. Hallelujah. How does the power of God work? My pastor used to tell this story to show us how faith works. It was the general secretary of a fellowship when he was in secondary school. He said he didn't have sense. So some people came to preach in their school and they asked, is any of you filled with the Spirit? And a lot of people were not filled with the Spirit, including him. And he was the general secretary. He said, if you are not filled with the Spirit, you want to receive, come out. He told himself, I will now go out. They will not know even the general secretary
He's not filled with the Spirit. No, I won't go out. In that sense, wait. The Bible says, he that asketh, receive it. And he that seeketh, find it. He that knocketh. He said, Lord, is that what you said in your word? I believe that those people that are going out for us, believe that they will receive. If I also ask, you will give me. So I believe. I ask now that you give me the Spirit, and I believe I receive in Jesus' name. Now that I've received, no sign, see faith. I expect to speak in tongues, and I speak in tongues like Jesus' name. Shabranam, just like speaking faster than those who went out to go and receive. Faith can be rude, but God will honor it. Faith can be rude, but God will honor it. That means God was excited. Oh, so you believe I'm that liberal. What I'm going to give you, I won't consider your faults to give you. And he just received. That was just it. So he started speaking in tongues before those people reached the front. Because he just believed. Hallelujah. What kind of faith is that? A faith that believes that God has already given the Spirit. That's why every time I want to minister the Spirit to people, I tell them, we're not asking God to give you. He has given. We are praying that you will receive. That's what we're going to do. We focus on your receiving. After the cross of Christ, the resurrection, all the promises are yes and amen. A believer should focus on what? Receiving. When he's not receiving, what should he do? That's what we saw last week. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Where am I missing it? Is there something I need to do? He may tell you, the job you are looking for, go and meet so and so. A name may drop in your heart. Speak to Brother God. Say, I've greeted him. Speak to him. I say, I've been greeting him. I say, speak to him today. Speak. Maybe Brother God's friend has told him something. He just happened to say that, Brother God does everything. And then, when you are talking to me, he just decided that, wait, somebody told him, maybe I should just ask, just in case. It will look like a coincidence. But it's God orchestrating things. Why is God telling you to speak to him? Because that is the wisdom you need for manifestation. You were praying, oh God, I need, oh God, I need. And God's like, inside that your room, they won't say courier. They're not going to say courier, this is what to come and give you. It's just somebody you need to talk to or meet that will give you the idea or a contact, and that is all. I hope you understand. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So I'm processing my faith. What is wisdom? What do I do next? You don't know. Let him ask of God. Who gives all men liberally? He will now tell you, this is the next thing to do. Results will come. That's the way it works. Hallelujah. What did Abraham need to do? He needed to stop seeing himself go childless. Nobody was there. God had to come to do it for Abraham himself. What did God do? He showed Abraham something that will affect his vision, so that his faith can work. The next part of God completing that principle, well, when he now told Abraham, you will no longer be called Abraham, you will not be called Abraham, so that what you are seeing and what you are hearing will coincide. And Psalm 19 says that, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be what? Acceptable. That's how faith works. That's how faith works. Hallelujah. Okay, so maybe we'll continue next week. I'll explain some other things. That's how it works. Like the meditation of my heart and the word of my, let it be what? Acceptable before you, O God, my Redeemer. That's Psalm 19. The last few verses. Psalm 19. Verse 8. Let us Psalm 19. I think last verse or so. Yes. Verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and what? A meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see that? So God completed the process for Abraham. Chapter 15, what Abraham was seeing. Chapter 17, what Abraham was hearing. He said, your wife also, you will now call her Sarah, not Sarai, Sarah. So Abraham started calling the wife princess. And then the wife started calling him Abraham, father of a multitude. So what he was seeing, what he was hearing, aligned. A year after, Isaac came forth. Hallelujah. I'm so glad we have these illustrations in the scriptures for us to see the process. That you can actually be frustrated when you're not seeing results. Until there's an adjustment that's made. And then you now see the power of God. Because the adjustment is always here. So when it comes to faith, we work on the receiving side. Not on the giving side, the receiving side. We are receivers. walk on the receiving side. When we walk on the receiving side, we'll get results faster. All right, so we'll stop here tonight.